RVS Public Media.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I am your host, Esther Tyree, and thank you for tuning in and listening today. We are wrapping up July, and so if you are a member and are sponsoring the station, thank you very much. If you're not and would like to be, you may go to the website, krvs.org, and click on the donate button, or I think there's probably one to become a member. Anyway, but thank you again for everybody that has stayed loyal to listening and to supporting the station and all the wonderful shows that are here. And back on the line with me today is Claire Martin. She's going to continue discussing her journey as a poet and her current work, which I don't remember the whole title. She'll remind us of that. But also she's going to continue to talk about the guitar and how she got started with that and how the two sort of work together. So thank you, Claire, for calling in today and sharing some more. And we appreciate all the information that you divulged about writing and about your journey and about your experiences on last week's show. So we'll continue to talk about your manuscript and you know, just the differences that you experienced between the first two that you did, Eating the Heart First and Seek the Holy Dark, and this one, and then when the guitar entered the picture and how that's kind of helped you process through different things. But as I'm thinking about it, so if you didn't have a chance to listen to last week's show, you may go to the website, krvs.org, and click on Audio on Demand and then pull up the date, 7/21/2020, or the show, Je Savais Pas, and then Claire Martin, and that'll let you listen to last week's episode. But she was on the air back in 2017, August 17th and September 14th. So if you wanted to go back and listen to those to get that information about her writing of the other two manuscripts and kind of get some background, then those are the shows to go and listen to. So thank you again.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Claire. Always glad to, you know, hear about your journey and your process and your learning and your experiences. And it's going to be fun. I'm hoping that tomorrow I'll be able to tune in to the virtual reading, because I think that'd be interesting to hear what different people are sharing. But go ahead and continue. Did you notice a difference in the process between the first two manuscripts put together and then this one, and kind of following up with what you were saying about kind of just, you know, putting the pen to paper and emptying your brain?
Yeah. I wish it was that easy, but also I wouldn't want to wish that on my worst enemy if I really put my whole brain on paper. It would not be pretty. One thing I can say is that from the time, I mean, if people really go back and listen to some of the earlier interviews that you had with me, I'm sure I made a point to mention that the reason that I began what I claim as the writing life in 2012, it was in March of 2012. I'm sorry, not 2012, 2004.
Yeah.
It was 2004 that my son passed away. And when he passed away, I was just, you know, of course, devastated, but also gave myself permission to write and say that I would be a professional poet and that I would write, follow the words wherever they led. And 2012, what I came to mention was that is when my first collection of poetry was published, Eating the Heart First by Press 53 out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I was just, my life just turned around at that point. It was such an affirmation of my work and my, you know, throwing myself into poetry, just, you know, with, I like to say I put all my eggs in the poetry basket.
Yeah.
And there's a great bit of good that came from it. But I would say that maybe reserve a few eggs for some other basket.
Right, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Now I hear you. I mean,
wise.
It's, you know, it's been said often that, you know, art's a great way to navigate through the tragedies of life or just even the joys of the journey. But, you know, having an art form to turn to kind of help express grief or sorrow or sadness or joy or any of the emotions, it's just kind of like a healthy way to sort of process through that and then even have a memoir or a memory and be able to go back and read and see your progress as an artist and as a writer and things like that. So what have you noticed the difference between the first two manuscripts and this one? And remind the listener of what the title of your book manuscript is.
What I'm working on currently is a manuscript. And I have three books. I have Eating the Heart First that came out in 2012, Seek the Holy Dark with Yellow Flag Press that came out in 2017, and Crone from Nix's Mate Books in Boston that came out in 2018. And there's quite a difference between all three, and I'm not going to go into too much about the difference between those three and this work. This work is thematically linked. Its working title is Black Horse, Night, Black Horse Night.
Mm-hmm.
And each poem has a horse in it.
Yeah.
So each poem has a horse as a character, as an image, as the driving force of the poem has to do with humans, interactions, inner relationships and affinities with horses. It's sort of exploring and also exploring horses as dream symbolism and, you know, metaphors as healers and grace-filled animals, you know, that we have come to have a very unique and special relationship with as humans.
Right.
You know, throughout history and also, their use is a lot more pleasurable now than as a working animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's probably fewer horses that people, you know, have daily contact with, fewer human horse interactions, but, you know, they're still a part of our culture and life. And I've had great respect for them and, love for horses for all of my life. So this work there were some poems that didn't make it into those other books that had horse imagery. And so about maybe 2 years ago, I started pulling poems together that had the linkage of having a horse in it, symbolism, dream, you know, imagery, metaphor.
Yeah.
And through my process with a therapist, I've been exploring dreams, you know, a lot of horse dreams that have been fodder for new work. So I've got about 30 pages of poetry, and I'm aiming for 50 to 55 pages.
Okay.
And I'm not putting a time limit on this work. It's just however it comes about is great for me.
Yeah, let it.
I'm very relaxed in the process right now.
Let it be and let it grow as it will.
Yeah.
A lot of my guests have said that, you know, they kind of needed to just let it take its shape, how it was going to take its shape, or let it, you know, process or grow or whatever. So last episode you mentioned about the guitar. So at what point what was the events that brought that out and playing guitar that experience? Go ahead.
My first dream is, I mean, it's never too late to be a rock star. So I was drawn to the guitar. I as a child, my parents once again indulged me and got me a guitar and arranged for some lessons, but I was really too young to commit to practice. And one day I left my beautiful guitar on a recliner and someone accidentally sat on it and broke the guitar.
Oh, no.
So for not putting it away properly and storing it, it was not replaced for me. until on my 17th birthday. I might have been 8 or 9 when that happened. And on my 17th birthday, I had become friends with some local musicians, and I really wanted a guitar. And my parents surprised me and bought me a Phoenix Electra. It's a Japanese guitar, and electric guitar, and a little baby amp. And boy, I mean, I taught myself some bar chords. I taught myself some basic chords and plugged it in and turned that amp up. And everybody in the house wanted me to go and get an extension cord and play in the little shed that we kept the lawnmower in and not the house while I learned for two or three years, you know, living at home with my parents and brother while we were going to college. So I played for about 4 years with practicing every day, you know, really playing and, you know, got my basic knowledge down in those 4 years. And then when I got married, somehow, I don't know what it was, blame the patriarchy, I don't know, I gave up. I gave up. I just gave up. I just let it go, and I didn't play. But I noticed that when I would have these traumatic episodes in my life, usually a death of a loved one, I would turn to the guitar. And then it soothed my soul like no other thing. And when my mom passed away in 2014, I certainly couldn't write at that time. And so in times when I find that I'm not writing poetry actively, I have picked the guitar back up again and really had these bursts of periods where I'm practicing playing. And that's happened to me again with the pandemic. You know, I'm just really throwing myself into it, but it's a luxury to be able to have some quiet time to do that.
Absolutely.
And I really treasure that time. And so now I'm playing on a daily basis again, and it's been very comforting and rewarding and creatively very stimulating. So I'm very pleased with having picked it up again. And,
yeah, wonderful. So are you doing finger picking? Because you said you taught yourself some chords. Are you doing finger picking or strumming?
I'm trying to learn how to do finger picking. I've got my strumming. You know, I've got my strumming under you know, control. I can, you know, what is in my spirit, the music that I feel inside of me, I'm starting to be able to bring it out, you know, and let it kind of be on its own out of me. So I have some, you know, my ability is coming back. The dexterity of my hands are coming back, and I can feel the rhythm, and I can make the rhythm sound like I want it to sound. But the picking is going to, you know, I need to work on that. I hit a plateau with some other things, so now I'm challenging myself with learning some finger picking styles. Very, very rudimentary.
Yeah.
But it's just a little bit at a time. I want to. I don't feel any pressure. I don't feel any. What could it be? Lack of confidence. I don't feel that. It's pure pleasure for me. So I'm not. I'm not auditioning drummers and bass players and singers quite yet, but you know, that may come along. That may come along in a year or so.
Yeah,
you know.
Let it grow and see what it becomes. So you also mentioned that you had started like songwriting. So has any of your poems that you've written, have you been sitting down picking the guitar and all of a sudden a poem pops up and a melody comes with it? Or is that separate? I mean, are they still
interesting? I always felt like it was a mystery, like songwriting was this big mystery and this thing that was out of my reach. But what I found was recently, and I've really wanted to be a songwriter and wanted to play guitar and write songs even from way back when, but I always felt like it was something out of my grasp. And what I found is when I'm just playing, you know, just sort of fiddling around on the guitar, if I find like a chord progression that really kind of sounds good together, and I'm playing it and I'm getting the rhythm out, that I can hear it and I can hear the melody. And so I'll start like just la-la or humming or, you know, just kind of making some vocalizations.
Okay.
And then I'll kind of explore that. And then I find that mentally I can come up with some lines, and the lines kind of follow that the
melody that you were humming.
The melody, or also the rhythm, you know, the line breaks come out like poetry, but it follows the rhythm that I'm playing. So the words are very rhythmic, you know, and I've just found, I'm just exploring that right now. And it's, I'm sure there are people that are much more experienced songwriters that can maybe relate, or maybe they're, you know, like have a different process. But for me, I kind of find that if I hear the chord progression, if I hear the melody coming in the rhythm, the words are coming afterwards, which is interesting, especially because I'm a poet first. You know, it seems, well, maybe I'm not a poet first. Maybe I'm a singer, songwriter, rock star first. And then the poetry was like, you know, trying to prove myself in some way. I don't know.
Right. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree. And on the line with me is Claire Martin discussing her guitar playing and how that came to be. And so thank you, Claire, for phoning in today and sharing. So I had a question I wanted to ask you, and it left my brain. Oh, it got hung up on the midweek, what you're saying about being a poet first, but then maybe not. Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you. So have you found that with writing, you've gotten a little bit more daring and bolder in your efforts, and then has that kind of transferred over to the guitar, or vice versa? Like, if have you noticed in picking up the guitar and doing more regular playing and practicing that you've gotten a little bit more daring and bolder in exploring and trying things? And then how have those two sort of helped each other out?
Well, I would say that I would say uninhibited. I think I was probably like, when I wrote Seek the Holy Dark, that was really a test of courage because it was written after my mother passed away. And she enjoyed my first book, and it was written while she was alive, and she was supportive of it. And she was, she was very proud of me and everything but page 61, you know, she gave approval of. page 61 had some strong language. And so she was a little, I was like, Mom, you know, skip page 61 and you'll be okay. So we went through that. But, the second book I wrote after her death, and I think a lot of it was just kind of crying out after her death. And there was probably a sense of boldness in that, especially in like, you know, the stylization of the poetry that was in there. It was a lot more experimental. I'm comfortable now writing in an uninhibited way. And it's good. That's good because I trust the voice. And so I've silenced the internal editor when I'm just getting the words out. You know, I don't stop myself and interfere with that voice, with that power that's coming through. But like with guitar, I think I'm a lot more uninhibited now because I'm not, I know there's no time for that. You know, there's really no time for that. There's no time to hold back, you know. The expression is important. It's vital. And I can't be shy, and I can't be, you know, I can be humorous. I can blow things off, but being shy is kind of a waste of time for me now at this point, because what I want to do is have a breakthrough where this will be part of my life for the rest of my life. And, you know, if I sit and just hold back, you know, it's not helpful.
Right.
It's not going to get me where I really want to go. So
exactly. I mean, nothing ever gets started if you just sit back and wait or watch. Yeah. You have to. I think that there's a quote, like, every journey begins with the first step. And so that's interesting. Well, it's also encouraging, too, to hear you say that, that, you know, I've decided just to shut up the critic in my brain and just sit mm-hmm. down and play and give myself room to grow and to learn and to explore and to experiment. And
yeah.
And it's often what I, you know, tell my students is like, as you practice, you're going to hear yourself improve, which is going to foster that desire to practice, which is going to give yeah. you more improvement and developing of ability. And so it's, you know, kind of like everything works together.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that, you know, being able to play with passion
mm-hmm.
is so enriching, and it's just, it feels good, you know. And like I mentioned in the last program, it was the pandemic, you know, that disconnect from so many things that made me turn inward again mm-hmm. and go back to the guitar. And this time, you know, I'm making it stick. I'm not going to veer from it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know it's interesting when, you know, things happen and people start to have more space to think, that sometimes they're like, well, what am I going to do with that extra time? And some people go, well, I've always wanted to do this. Let me jump in. Mm-hmm. And others like start to reach out to other people. And you know, it's, yeah. yeah. So
some people bake bread. Some people uh-huh. make soup. Some people start painting or do organization at their home.
Yep.
And I mean, we've been, you know, given all this time in a way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, do yeah. something creative with it.
Yeah. Make the most of it and look on the positive side. Well, I have time mm-hmm. to do what I've always wanted to do. And let me just jump in and learn. It's kind of like swimming. You don't ever learn how to swim if you don't jump in the pool.
That's right.
So what kind of guitar is it that you're playing? Is it?
I had this Kona acoustic electric,
mm-hmm.
and then unfortunately that one has a crack in it that happened. So I'm not playing it right now, and I'm getting ready. Someone's going to repair it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny. I'm going to say this right now. So the Kona is what I had been playing, and I bought it shortly after my mom died, and it was the first guitar that I had bought in 30 years. So mm-hmm. I love that guitar, and it's got a wonderful tone. It's very nice, very easy to play. And since the crack happened, my cat has been sleeping next to that guitar.
Interesting.
Every day. She's sleeping next to it right now.
Oh, wow.
She goes and caretakes that guitar.
Aw, that's
so it's
sweet.
And there's nothing special about where it is. It's yeah. just she is right next to the guitar. I think. And then I'm playing the electric guitar, the Phoenix Electra that I got when I was 17,
mm-hmm.
my husband cleaned it up for me, and I restrung it, and I've been playing that one, and I have an amp, and then, you know, I can rock out with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend gave me this little parlor acoustic guitar. It's a little small body. It is a Sonnen and Patrick. It's a little steel string, acoustic, small body. And he says they called them parlor guitars because the ladies could play them in the parlor as entertainment.
Interesting.
So I do everything I do in our living area.
Uh-huh.
And so I consider that our parlor. So I'm a lady playing the guitar in the parlor.
Well,
so that's what,
yeah.
That's what I've been doing.
Well, there you go. So do you have an artist or band or another guitar player video or YouTube channel or recording that you listen to for inspiration or watching for technique?
I haven't gotten into the tutorials on YouTube
mm-hmm.
yet, but that's something I want to do. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to, Paco de Lucia and,
yeah.
Yeah, and stuff like that, you know, the picking, the Spanish type guitar,
mm-hmm.
and also Michael Hedges, who is kind of associated with the Wyndham Hill artist, but from the 80s.
Okay.
But he passed away, like, at the height of his career was, like, really crossing over, and, you know, just phenomenal stuff like that. But, of
mm-hmm.
course, that's nowhere near. I'm just, you know, little old me. But it's wonderful because I'm hoping by osmosis somehow I'll pick up on some of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talk about dreams, and in my dreams, especially the dreams when I was away from the guitar, I would have dreams where I'm just producing this music as a virtuoso
uh-huh.
and I I know everything about the instrument. I know the instrument innately. It's just an extension of me. And so in these dreams, I'm creating this phenomenal music. But that hasn't happened yet, but I'm familiarizing myself right. enough that, you know, one day I'll be able to translate
absolutely
what is within and bring it without.
So with your writing and your poetry, are there any poets and writers that you reference again for ideas, inspiration, and encouragement?
I'm not going to, not right now. I edited a poetry magazine, mm-hmm. Mockingheart Review. I founded it and edited it. I founded it in September of 2015, and I passed it on to a poet, Tyler Robert Sheldon, who mm-hmm. is getting his PhD at LSU and is a wonderful poet and editor. And I passed it on to him in 2019.
Okay.
Between 2019 and 2015, I was reading so much contemporary poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, you know, to be the editor and to decide which pieces would be taken
right.
and which would not be published. And, you know, I kind of reached my absorption limit
yeah.
with that, because we had, you know, hundreds of submissions
right.
each reading period. So I'm kind of on a little mental break right now
yeah.
from that. But,
well, it's,
yeah.
you know, it's good to do that. I mean, I mentioned yeah. Last week's episode that a farmer lets his field go fallow every yeah. 7 years just to replenish. And it's good to, you know, to let part of your brain that's in that mode, let it rest and turn to another art form, you know, to maybe develop that and then come back to the other one.
Yeah.
So any closing words, comments, or encouragement to the listeners as we begin to wrap up?
Oh, I just... You know, when people talk about the buzzword self-care,
mm-hmm.
they might think, you know, there's some negativity attached to it that
right.
some people say, ah, you know, that means we'll get a manicure. But maybe it is, you know.
Right.
But I really believe in, you know, authentic self-care. And that can be, you know, stopping when you're eating something nourishing and delicious and just really appreciating it.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is living moment to moment.
Absolutely.
And having trust and faith in the moment.
Absolutely.
And so, like for me, guitar playing has become self-care. You know, if I connect with the music one day, you know, every day, one time each day, you know, a couple times each day,
mm-hmm.
it's nourishing my brain and it's soothing my heart. It's lifting us up. You know, in the home, like I see my husband tapping his foot. It's a nice ambiance for him,
yeah.
you know, to hear that. He enjoys it. He fell in love with the woman that played guitar.
Yeah.
And it was something that now we're enjoying in a peaceful home environment.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Claire, for calling in again today and sharing more of your journey. And
thank you.
We appreciate all the information that you shared. And so you've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at krvs.org. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Be sure to tune in to Encore, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. for great Cajun music with me, your host, Megan Constantin.
For a delightful listening experience on Friday afternoons, why not tune in to Freetown Radio at 3? It'll cure what ails you. And it's only on KRVS 88.7 FM and KRVS.org on the web. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, streaming.